Oh, partner, it has been, it feels like it's been years. Well, in our world, it kind of is, because you and I do a show every week, and you and I have not gotten to do a show. We've not done Behind the Braves since a couple of days after the Braves won the World Series. It's been a while. We've had a lot going on.
I felt like I got fired.
Me and you both. I know. We both got canned from the podcast somehow. It was crazy. What started with you got your knee replaced, which, by the way, you're getting around. You're just running around like you're a 20-year-old now, which is great to see.
So I forgot about that.
Yeah,
my knee replaced. That was the first one.
That was the first thing. So Mark Owens pitched in and helped 1 week.
Oh, okay.
He did. He filled in for you 1 week, and we had a good time. But then lots happened in the baseball world since then, and y'all know what it is, and it's just kind of made it difficult for us to be able to do the show that we like to do.
Yeah,
I think that pretty much explains it. So we've kind of had to lay low for a little bit, but we could not pick a better place, a better time, better group of people to bring in a new year, a new season of behind, not just of baseball, a new season of Behind the Braves than at the 2022 edition of Braves Fantasy Camp. As you can hear, everybody's in the we're outside the Braves Academy here at Cool Today Park. The fire pits are going. Everybody's having drinks, having a good time, and it's we couldn't have a better place to kick it off.
Yeah, and best background of the year, right? We talk about the ambiance and being here and people out having a good time. We're out by the cornhole, and we had Mr. Sherholtz tonight,
right?
Doing a Q&A, talking about great years we had in the 90s. And I mean, I think for me, being fantasy camp coordinator, at just having nightmares the week or two or three or 4 weeks before camp, thinking what can go wrong. I mean, I don't even watch the news because there's no sense in it. Looking at and of course I send an email out and there's a big gasp with all the fantasy campers thinking that it might get canceled.
Right.
So I'm getting text messages and I'm saying no, we're rocking and rolling, we're going forward, and we found a way to make. We hardly lost anybody. We had two people that. Got a little bit sick before camp started, but really, outside of that, everybody's been healthy, having a great time. It feels like we're not in the same place we were a year ago.
Right.
From the standpoint of just where the world is and what. The things that we were dealing with. Now we're at this point where we just had a great camp. I mean, we got one more day.
Right.
It's hard to believe. The weather's been outstanding, and everybody's just having a great time because they know how special this is, and we all missed last year, and it was a big miss.
Oh, my goodness. If you think, I've often thought about over the last 2 years, we recorded Braves Fantasy Camp, our episode, in January of 2020, and little did we know about the storm, let's just call it. I was going to call it something else. Because I've had a couple beverages, don't tell anybody. But the what was coming and what was going to happen to us in the world. I mean, at that point, we just had no clue. And so now, 2 years later, to be back here and the good vibes and the good feelings, the good atmosphere at this place. It's what brought me back. I've said it. You're going to hear me say it in the interviews we're going to have coming up. I've said it to you in the office when we're out having lunch and we're just messing around, just chit chatting, shooting the breeze in the office. You brought me down here 2 years ago to Fantasy Camp for us to do a podcast. And I said, cool, that's great. I knew that Fantasy Camp was a thing that folks could sign up for. Basically, you pay and you come down and you get to kind of live as a big leaguer for a week and play some baseball. And I was like, okay, that's great. Beyond that, I didn't really know much. And I was only here for, about a day and a half the time before in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I came away, I was so blown away by how much fun it was, and just how, really, I still think back about that, how campers, like, they listened to our show, and they all, as soon as I got here, they all wanted me to have a good time and show me why it is they do this every year. Like, a lot of them, because you've got a great number of people that come back every
67% year. 67% return rate.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
And they did, and they showed me how much fun this is, and just the atmosphere, the bond that is here. It is something you have to come here to experience. Mm. You and I try to promote it as best we can, because we want to many Braves fans over throughout the years to be able to come down here and experience it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We do our best to promote it, but you really do have to come here to experience it. It's unlike anything else. If you're a diehard Braves fan, it's just, you got to do this at least once in your life, I feel like.
Yeah, and we've had over the years, and I think Arnie talked about it, that it starts out as a bucket list, and you're thinking, well, maybe this is a place that I can see. And I likened it to a family reunion, right?
Yep.
It's once a year, you get to tell great stories and have a new experience. Jensen every year, except you don't have the crazy uncle, right?
You
may have some crazy alumni, but you don't have the crazy uncle.
I was going to say, you've seen Giles, right? We're going to hear from him coming up here. I mean that in a loving way. Yeah, he's one of my favorite Braves of ever, all time.
He lays it out there.
So yeah, he's great.
It's good. But it is just it's memorable. It's quotable, I guess. There's some surly quotes.
Yep.
And we always look forward to what's going to happen. But honestly, it just feels like a second family. And I've talked to a lot of people and that have been here, whether it's on the alumni side or whether it's on the camper side. And there is just something special about it where we get a chance to experience something new. And I think coming off of what we just had with COVID, and I tell you what, Zoom may be a great company, right? And Microsoft Teams was a great invention.
Sure.
But I could live the rest of my life and not ever send somebody a Zoom meeting.
I know.
Request or a team meetings request. And, you know, and it doesn't make them bad companies, but and I could do the rest of my life without seeing a mask, right? I want to see you smile. I want to see your whole face and not just half of it, because
I do have a pretty face.
Just as human beings, we need to see the full expression, right? And so I could live the rest of my life without any of those, and I would be perfectly happy.
Well, I will tell you, I think back on 2020 being here, and I touch on this again in the interviews. Like we're going to interview Lori Busby, who's been here in camp before with her husband Brian. She's a first year. She's been here in camp before, but this is her first year playing.
She's a rookie.
More than holding her own out there too.
Yes.
She's doing a great job. But I met her and her husband Brian 2 years ago here, and as I'm going to say in the interview, we became Facebook friends and kind of keep up with folks. Chris LaPrade, he and I are Facebook friends now, and same deal, you keep up with each other. And the last couple of nights I've met, oh gosh, Doug Gibson, he's a rookie in camp this year. He's from the same part of the world that I am, in Virginia. God's country, we like to call it. And you just find out these little things. It's like he graduated from the same high school that my sister is now teaching high school government from. And then I'm having dinner with him and Jeremy Hudson and Dave and all these peaks and these folks, and I feel like I'm coming away here from, you know what, it's fun, and this is true, I'm not exaggerating this. I got home last night after we had dinner at Sharky's, which was a great place to have dinner if you're down here in the Northwood area. I guess that's Venice.
Nokomis, Venice. Yeah, that's right. So, right around the beach.
Great
food.
Literally right on the beach. I got back to the hotel, and I FaceTimed my fiance, and I said, "Honey, I think I'm making new friends. Like, I think I'm actually," but I'm like kind of saying it like you just went to school and you made a new friend, but being serious, and they're like, "No, seriously, I'm coming away from this with people that I'm going to consider friends now, because I just enjoy being around them, and it's
and you'll want to come back next year."
Oh, I'm already planning my ways. I'm going to plot my way to weasel my way back in the next year. Hey, this is also no exaggeration. I came down here for a day and a half last time, and I somehow, by pestering you enough, convinced you to have me down here for the whole week this time. And I've loved every second of it.
Yeah.
It's been great.
You've been promoting camp and working your job and digital marketing and doing a lot of great stuff for us. And of course, you know, we've been itching to get back on the podcast. We just were hoping that this would come sooner than later, and it has, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, we very much appreciate all of you out there. I've heard from a lot of you offline, as they say, asking when is the show coming back, and believe me, it's our plan was we wanted to be on every week during the off season, and just things beyond our control, we couldn't do it, but we're back now, and we couldn't be more pleased. I get to see you in the office every day, but man, I've missed doing this. I've missed putting on our headsets here and doing this every week. So thank goodness we're back, and it's good to be back. And so with that being said, though, we've got four great guests coming on. We've got Pete Smith, great Braves pitcher from back in the day, and also a longtime Braves fantasy camp coach. He's on with us. Lori Busby, who I just mentioned, she's on with us. Two veteran campers.
Yeah. Jason Poole and Arnie Lingwall.
Yeah.
They've been both here, been over, I think Jason's his eighth year and Arnie's sixth year, maybe.
I saw Arnie, by the way, in a game. I saw him on the field the other day, and I thought, is he a fantasy camper, or is he actually a player? He's pretty stout.
He's a good athlete.
Yeah.
He's a good athlete. He works out. And what I didn't know about Arnie is he had shoulder replacement, which I'm just coming off knee replacement, and I look at him and how he handled his shoulder replacement. It's pretty remarkable the way he's swinging the bat.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, with my knee replacement, I couldn't be out there running around. Well, it's only been 8 weeks, but still, even if it had been, you know, 14 weeks, I wouldn't be doing that. I'm looking to get back out on the golf course, but not necessarily the baseball field.
There you go. Well, you're getting around a lot better than you were before. That's great to see.
Feels much better. No pain.
There you go. That's what matters.
Yeah.
Well, let's get right to it. And we've got to it here. We've got a 4 great interviews, a bunch of great guests. Again, as you hear in the background, everybody's out here just having some drinks, catching up, laughing, having a good time. And again, this is a testament to Fantasy Camp. Literally, like, Greg can only see me because we're sitting outside. I can see the whole event going on, or the whole gathering in the background. It's literally campers talking to Marcus Giles, talking to Steve Avery, and then and everybody's just hanging out, having a good time. And it's all what Braves Fantasy Camp's all about. So
that's right.
Let's get to it. Here we go with our Braves Fantasy Campers.
Well, hey guys, thanks for joining us on Behind the Braves. We have not done a podcast since, I'll take that back. We've done podcasts, but just not live. They've been...
You and I haven't done one together since a couple of days after the Braves won the World Series.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's been a minute.
Well, obviously, if you've been listening to podcasts, you know that we're down at Fantasy Camp right now. And this is a pretty special time for us because we talk about it all year long. So we appreciate it. We've got Laurie Busby and we got Pete Smith, who is her pitching coach on the team. And you guys are team, what's your number? What team are you guys on?
We are team number 5. We will not say
We cannot
name.
Say the
cannot
name.
Cannot say
Correct.
The name.
Most of the names can't be said. On
yeah.
I learned that when I came to my first fantasy camp 2 years ago. Most of these names can't say them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we wanted to have Laurie on because Laurie is a rookie this year. Even though she came with her husband, Brian, in 2020, she is actually participating in camp as a camper and player on Pete's team. So we wanted to have them both on because we're gonna talk to a bunch of people tonight, but we wanted to have you guys here just to talk about how camp's going, your experience as a first time, right? Even though quasi first time, but you've been out there, you've been out there playing, right?
Yeah, whole different world.
Yeah,
being a player, whole different world.
Yeah, and how's the body feeling?
Actually, pretty good. As long as you stick with a little hot tub, ice tub regimen at the end of the day.
All right.
And a little alcohol after that.
And what has been your primary position?
I think it's called bench warmer, Pete. Is that what it is?
No, it's called designated hitter.
Oh, okay. That was it.
Designated hitter.
I was a pinch runner at some point, too. So,
there we go. Those are premium at this point. I'm hearing from around the league, those are premium because there are some teams that have like one pinch runner. At this point.
I've heard.
Yeah, we've had.
And we may try to get Laurie out there to pitch tomorrow. And we'll see how.
Oh, I like that.
We'll see how Matt starts out, one of our players here that's been here forever. But, you know, it's a great opportunity now to kind of give them the opportunity to do something that they've never really done. And we're kind of out of it.
So you got, that was my next question.
I think we're 2-3, and some of the other teams are 3-1. I think we're in trouble.
Yeah.
But it'd be a nice opportunity to do something that you've totally never done before.
Mm.
Even if it's, you know, one hitter. Just to see what it feels like.
Okay.
So we may do that. So
that
we'll have fun. We'll play around. We'll see how it goes.
Well, I wanted to ask, being a female camper, right? There's only 2 of you, Amy, and Amy's been a long time fantasy camper with us. We've known her and Chris, and she's been great, and she's been doing it a long time. We've enjoyed it. Were you intimidated at all to think that, you know, as you were thinking about coming to camp, is this something I really want to do? Because there's, you know, only 1 or 2 women that are participating, or just like once you were here last time with Brian, you're like, no, this is something I really want to do.
I would say, honestly, I was intimidated. There was definitely some anxiety on the way up here, but for the past, because we missed the 2020 camp, but we had signed up for that, so we spent a good part of the last 2 years in the cage and throwing a lot. I had a coach for a little while, so I said, I just don't want to embarrass myself when I'm here, and Amy has been an awesome mentor.
Nice.
I mean, we see each other in the off-season from camp, and, you know, she has always encouraged me to come and beg, you you know, please, I need somebody in the locker room with me. And it's just, the anxiety kind of went away after the evaluations. And I heard how supportive everyone was of me.
That's great.
That was, because it was the anxiety comes from, you know, I don't want to come and let my team down, because I'm a competitor. I'm a big sports fan, and I know how important it is to win. So I was like, I just cannot come and drag my team down. But to come here on the first day and hear, I mean, literally everyone, opposing team, you guys behind me when I was doing evaluations, all, you know, cheering me on, that just was awesome.
That's great. And, of course, you got a great coach. Pete's been, and I said this today, there's only been three alumni that have been here the whole time outside of myself, and that's Pete, Steve Avery, and, Sid. So they, and the reason why they come back every year is because they're great. They're great at it, and they're really encouraging and makes it a lot of fun. And this is probably not the first time, that we've had, we've had women participants, right? Over the years, we've had plenty, but it's always a challenge for me to make sure that you feel like you're a part of camp. You're not intimidated, or you know that you feel like that this camp is for you, because you know obviously it's baseball, you know. And even though you and Brian are huge baseball fans, camp participating in baseball, you know, it can be a little bit challenging, right?
Yep.
Because it is predominantly men that are here, so. Trying to make that a great experience is, always worries me. So I want to make sure that everything's cool with that. And so what's been your experience with it, with Pete, with trying to find and make them feel like they're a part of the team and they're participating and, you know, being an integral part of each team?
We honestly have always treated, you know, Amy for sure. Lori just, she literally just jumped in. I mean, she was, you've been great. Her approach is great. We don't hold back. If she's not doing something that we've been working on, I'm yelling from the sidelines, hey, get your hands going, or keep your weight back, whatnot. So we try not to treat them any differently. I mean, she's participating. Mm-hmm. She's hitting the ball. These guys aren't laying back.
And you're teaching.
Of course, yeah.
You're teaching this whole time.
Of course, yeah.
Which is kind of fun to watch.
And what's great is that the other pitchers, you know, they're not taking it like, oh, hey, Laurie's up. Let me throw some, softballs up there. They're pitching to her.
Yeah.
And she's making contact. And I think Amy had the best at-bat of the camp today. And she was filing off Matt Novis, like, to the screen. Mm-hmm. She was on him.
That's awesome.
So these guys are competing. And, you know, they're part of our team. We just let them do their thing, and we're going to treat them just like every other ball player. It's great.
I think the best part, I've been roaming around to all three fields since I've been here and just watching games, and it's been such a treat for me just to sit back and watch. I think the best play I've seen so far in the field, Amy turned a double play yesterday that shut down a rally, and it was and again, to what Pete was saying, there was no, it's not like anybody was just letting off or any effort.
Right,
I mean, it was a hell of a play.
Yeah.
It was great, and it was great to see. So, Lori, all right, who drove in who? Did you drive in? Somebody drove in somebody, right? Who got the RBI?
Right. Brian walked first. He was on base. This is my husband. Uh-huh. And then I came up to bat. Bases were loaded, and I took a walk for the RBI.
So okay. All right. So you drove in Brian.
Here's the deal, though. Okay. Lori scored our first run of camp.
Really?
No. Okay. Oh, nice.
There you go. Arms in the air. I love it.
Sweet.
All right.
Truthfully.
Awesome.
So, I mean, she's just like every other guy.
That's
truthfully.
Great. That's great.
See, well, this Pete, happens to change with Amy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Pete, what, Greg already touched on it, but what keeps you coming back to fantasy camp every year?
It's the friendships you build. After camp, we have Facebook pages that everybody stays in contact. You have phone numbers, FaceTiming. You know, we're FaceTiming a couple guys tonight that couldn't be here, a couple of our Hall of Famers. It's just a nice family bond. Everybody gets along. Everybody loves the Braves and loves baseball. It's pretty much as simple as that. And we'll meet up at Braves games. You know, we'll go hang out at, one of the places around the Battery and get together and watch some of the Braves. It's just a good family group.
Right.
So that's what I like about it. And I get to see my teammates that I used to play with. Mac and I live close together, but You know, Abe is up in Michigan and Marcus is in San Diego, so it's nice to be able to get back together with those guys.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Laurie, I met you and Brian 2 years ago when we were down here at camp, and you weren't playing then. What was the final thing? You're like, okay, I'm not just gonna sit in the stands this time. I'm gonna play. Was there a moment where you're like, all right, I'm doing this. This is it.
I missed all of the other stuff. I missed being a part of all of it. I mean, between Kangaroo Court and being on the field, and, you know, I was here as a cheerleader for 2 years, but I had to go sit in the sidelines, you know, with the rest of the spouses, which was awesome. Don't get me wrong. I've made some great friendships with the spouses that are here. I mean, I'll echo what Pete says. It really is. I feel like this is, I get to come spend a week with my extended family. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the friendships are amazing, and it's a great bonding experience. And I'd never played. I played tennis and I played golf. I've never played softball, hit a baseball before this happened.
You never played softball?
No.
And you're hitting the ball against guys throwing 60 miles an hour? That's pretty impressive.
That is.
Yeah.
I thought you would at least maybe played in high school.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
No, I played tennis in high school, but not softball.
A little hand-eye coordination to play tennis, too.
She's an athlete.
Yeah.
And you're a golfer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you like playing golf.
Yep. So I think it really was, there was a piece of it that I was missing. And I think even the guys that are here that are normal campers have just embraced me in such a way as a player that just wasn't happening as a spouse. And it means the world. So that's probably awesome. What pushed it over.
And I've been talking to Victoria, my wife, and I think she, watching you and Amy play, she's kind of going, you know, I might like to come out here and participate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
You know,
that's right.
Everybody's great. She knows everybody. And just go out there and no one's going to judge. Just have fun and whatever. If you make contact with the ball, that's a win. So it's great, and everybody is tremendously supportive.
Yeah,
Everybody is always tremendously supportive.
See, Laurie was trying to sell me on playing next year, and I'm like, I embarrassed myself enough at the Braves employee softball tournament. Mm. And she's like, Ricky, like, what are you worried about? We're all out here having fun. Everybody's gonna have you back. And I'm like, all right, give me another year. Let me work up the courage.
Yeah.
If you stay on me enough, maybe we'll see in the office.
That is the strangest thing, because you bring that up, and I talk to a lot of guys about you know, promote fantasy camp, and it's great, you guys will love it, and they're like, I don't think I can compete with those guys. I'm like, it's not like that. It's 50-year-old guys out trying to hit 30 mile an hour fastballs and just out having a good time enjoying the game of baseball.
Right.
But I think people have that in their mind that it's, you know, these guys are semi-pro baseball players. There are some guys that can play. There are some other people that just love the game and love coming out and playing.
I mean, we've got, how old is Dick? 76?
No, 79.
79. He's going to be 80 in a couple months.
He's amazing. He was my starting pitcher tonight.
Was he?
So I'm starting a 79-year-old over a 32-year-old. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he comes to more than just fantasy camp. He plays in Roy Hobbs.
Oh,
he's been doing it for, you know, for a while.
Yeah, they should make a movie out of Dick.
Yeah. Well, you know, so many people have commented from the standpoint that, you know, we all kind of get together. It's like a family reunion, you know, once a year. And it's all kind of an interesting dynamic, because we do bring in, I mean, we were all watching the rookies tonight singing Do You Want to Be My Lover by the Spice Girls with their shirts off. I mean, you know, and it's pretty funny when we did YMCA in 2020. And you know, so there's things that we try to incorporate from being our playing days, whether it's Kangaroo Court or whether it's hazing the rookies. I say hazing lightly. It's nothing like life-threatening anything.
Right.
Issues.
It's all in good fun.
Yeah, hazing's got kind of a bad word nowadays.
Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
Never know.
But, you know, we're at the end of camp, and so it's gotten to the point where we all know each other a little bit better, and we've had such a great time all week, and you know, you kind of don't want it to end at some point.
Right.
It goes by quick, too. That's the funny
thing. It
does. You know, it's like Friday already. Like, wow, tomorrow's
It's like vacation that never lasts.
And it's, you know, it's that going to visit your parents and you have to leave and you have that feeling like, man, I love hanging out with these guys. But life moves on and you go back to your normal life.
But we got good memories, right?
I mean, always.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't believe, you know, of course, Ricky's been down here. Ricky's now full-time with the Braves. I don't know if you know that. He works in the digital marketing department. So he's come down. He's been handling Twitter and doing some really cool things. And then we've had had John Petrini, who's a longtime fantasy camper that just got a full-time job with 680. And of course, Finn's here, so he's been doing some social media stuff. I've gotten like, I don't know, 15, 20 emails from people that have been seeing what's been going on and wanting to know about 2023 and all this kind of stuff. So we've never had, we're getting a lot more support, but I think when you're having genuinely having a good time, people notice and they're like, oh wow, I'd really like to be a part of that. So it's been kind of cool.
I think the biggest thing is as long as they realize that you don't have to be a college baseball player.
Right.
You can, you could have played in Little League. Come out here, just have fun. No one's going to judge. You're going to have a great time. You're going to meet some great people. The Braves, you, Rick, guys do a great job of the events of the evening. Jeffrey.
And there's a lot more than just baseball, even though we're talking a lot of baseball, right. But it's more than just playing.
But if you think about it, you're up at, 7:30, thanks to Jeff.
Some of us.
and then you're hanging out until, midnight. So you're spending,
a lot
of time with these guys, and you're getting to know them, and you're getting to know their kids.
Yeah.
And, it's really cool.
Well, you've done a great job of meeting a lot of these guys. They, Atlanta's can be a central hub. So I know that you come to a lot of games because you do a lot of stuff with the alumni. So they're calling you, and you're on Facebook and all that, and they're like, hey, let's meet up. And and you came to one of the playoff games with me, and you met up with some of the guys that were tailgating.
Yeah.
That goes on all year long.
Correct.
I'm sure when they come to see you in San Diego, they probably, hollering at you if they come out there for games or whatever. But
did we mention Marcus Giles is sitting there?
No.
All right, Pete's handing him the headset.
He's just itching to get on here.
Yeah, here we go. All right, he's passing them over here.
This is probably the worst idea ever, but anyway, I'm here. Thank you. I've been actually chomping at the bit a little bit. I've been a little jealous. So anyway, what were we saying?
I was just saying some of the campers that contact you, they come out to California or, San Diego.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know Tracy Johnson lives out there, and I don't know if you guys ever rally at the Padres games when the Braves come out there or anything like that.
No, I don't go to too many Padre games. I don't know.
Even when the Braves come in town, you don't see them?
Yeah, well, I'll see Snit, but usually when you bring me out, I'll come see Snit and all that. But I don't know. I guess it's bias or whatever you want to call it. I'm not too smart. But my family's the Braves, and it's not the Padres. That's kind of what it comes down to. And I would, kind of take my shirt off my back for the Braves, but just no dig on the Padres, but my loyalty is to the Braves.
We've been talking a lot about Lori and Amy, and what have you seen out of them this week? I was saying a little bit ago, I think I've been roaming around. The best play I've seen, I think, was, and I, Marcus, I'm sorry, I think it was against your team. Amy turned a double play the other day
that
it's pretty damn good. So,
that's not even including the two-run RBI up the middle bullet she hit either, too. So I think I'm just going to plead the fifth and do the smart thing. I think I'm just going to do the smart thing.
Lori, have you gotten fined in the kangaroo court yet?
Not yet.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, we still got another day tomorrow. Yeah.
Well, glad we know that now.
I'm sorry, Lori. I shouldn't have brought that up.
Thanks, Ricky.
You can blame me tomorrow.
pay my fine.
Hey,
I got
you. We can fine Ricky, too, because he's showing up. And since he has been here all week but not gone to court, he will be getting fined.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on.
All right, buddy.
Yeah, thank you for letting me chime in.
Yeah, you got it.
Here's Petey.
Well, I can. Can I expense Kangaroo Court now that I'm a full-time Braves employee? Can I get a receipt for Kangaroo Court?
You can try.
Okay.
We all can try.
Okay. All right.
I do think we should let your listeners know that Marcus has been fined less than Greg McMichael.
Yeah.
Really?
That's
less
true.
Than?
Yeah,
that's
yes.
Really?
Well, there is one more day.
I don't think Marcus has been fined yet.
He's been on good behavior.
Yes, I have.
There's been one more. There's one more day. We will make sure that is not the case.
All right. Fair enough.
When the commissioner gets find more than some of the managers, something ain't right about that.
That is true.
I know that from the standpoint of the alumni, somebody was asking me, how do you go about picking these guys? Why are they so good? And kind of what you go through the process. Listen, I've known these guys you know, since we were, you know, Pete and I were in AAA together. I've known Pete forever, and it's really about, out of all the alumni, I mean, there's a ton of guys that have played for the Atlanta Braves. I only talked to about 250 of them, and then there's 65 in Atlanta. So I know the guys, former teammates, but specifically the guys that they're in Atlanta who want to be involved. If Pete didn't want to have anything to do with the Atlanta Braves and he just came to a game every now and then, he probably wouldn't be down here. But because he is available, he loves the Braves, he loves being a part of things like this, then it only makes sense to have him, because if he's enjoying it, then you're going to enjoy it, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm going to enjoy it. It makes my life, my job easier. It's going to make Ricky. So, that, I mean, it's not a huge issue to think about who's the right people and the right fit, but you have to have a mix. Not everybody is a guy that stands up and talks all the time. But there's some guys, and I would consider Pete a guy that is really good one-on-one. But he's not going to stand up and give a huge motivational speech, you know. He's just not that type of guy. So you have to have a mix of people who can complement each other. And so, it, you know, I get asked that all the time. But I think it's worth saying that it doesn't – this camp doesn't work without great alumni, and it doesn't work without great campers, right? They all work together, because if one's a jerk and one's not, it doesn't work, right?
Right.
You have to have both, and you have to want to be here, because it's a long week, and, you know, and if you're not having fun, it's pretty noticeable.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So if I can interject,
no,
I mean, to paint the picture, we're sitting out here at the fire pits outside the academy where a lot of us are staying, which is fantastic. You come home for the game, you come to the academy, you come out and play pool, you sit out by the fire pits, and there's always alumni out here. Eddie Perez, Pete Smith, Marcus, I mean, and they're telling stories, and, you know, Greg's out here telling us stuff, and it's just great. I mean, the dynamic is, and you're right, I mean, not every one of the coaches are out here, but there's a good mix. During the day, you know, you see some, and at night you see others, and I think you've done a really great job cultivating the alumni.
What has been your biggest surprise that you didn't expect? Now, I know you were here before with Brian, but as a player, what has been something that's surprised you, or is it what you expected?
I would say, actually, it's the idea of when I was so worried about the competition piece, and that, because I know a lot of the guys that play here, they play on men's senior league baseball back in Atlanta, and they're competitive. And, you know, to think of myself being on the same team of some of them, and like I said, letting them down, I mean, that was my real, but it just really is, everybody wants to win, but it's not at the sacrifice of fun.
Right. That's a good point. That's
yeah, you're not letting anybody down by any means. I mean, you're competing, you're participating, you're putting the bat on the ball, you're taking walks, you're scoring our first run. I mean, she's competing and helping our team. Yeah.
And ultimately, we know we're not making a living at this.
Well, that's it.
It takes the pressure off.
Yeah. I say that for my golf game and for this.
Yeah, we have to keep reminding ourselves.
Well, and to wrap it up kind of from my perspective too, we've touched on it so much, but the relationships that are built here, I mean, I met you and Brian 2 years ago. We're all Facebook friends now, and follow each other, keep up with each other. And it's like when the Braves won the World Series this past year, it's like we're all sharing that excitement and know each other. My first day in camp with Greg, I had lunch with you and Pete and his wife, and Pete's wife and I were talking. She works in marketing, and I got to hear, which is what I do, and I got to hear about things from her world, which was we're both marketing, but it was cool to hear from a different perspective and a different type of marketing. Yeah. So, and it's that kind of stuff that I feel like goes on all day, every day here. It's just the relationships and friendships that are formed, and it's you really have to come here and experience it. And that's what I was so impressed with last time, and why I weaseled my way into coming here the whole week this time was. Because I just wanted to soak that up a little bit more.
You know, it was great sitting with you and letting you, or Victoria, pick your brain, you pick her brain. But one of the greatest things that I enjoy is when camp is over, you'll go home and you'll be sitting looking at Facebook and you'll get friend requests.
Really?
And all of a sudden, all these rookies.
And
you're like, bam, 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 bam.
Yeah.
And you jump on the fantasy camp, you know, the Atlanta Braves fantasy camp Facebook page. And now you have another 20, 30 guys that, and you're just following them.
Well, there's already about 500 on there or something, isn't there?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just great because you will see these guys. You didn't know them a week ago, and now they're friend requests.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
And that happens every year. So
every year.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to get a couple veterans on here, talk to them about it. But glad you guys are here, and appreciate you coming on the podcast, because people, they love hearing about the fantasy camp. And I get emails that say, yeah, I heard you guys talk about it. Man, I'd love to do that sometime. How do I, what do I know about it? And so I always say, hey, go to the Braves Fantasy Camp website on Facebook, and you can talk to anybody that's been here. They're happy, more than happy to share what their experience is. And then you can just ask a lot of questions that I can't answer. I don't have enough time in the day to answer them all, but there's plenty of people willing to do that.
Absolutely.
And so that's a great resource. So if you're interested, go to Facebook and look up Braves Fantasy Camp. So and then, of course, you can go to Braves.com/fantasycamp as well.
There you go.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you both so much.
Enjoy. We got one more day, right? Unfortunately, but let's enjoy.
We got one more game to win.
That's right. There you go.
There you go.
All right.
Thanks for having us.
Good night. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay, well, we wanted to visit with a couple veterans here at from camp. You guys have been longtime fantasy campers. We got Jason Poole from Mississippi. We got Arnie Lingwall from Utah. These guys leave it out on the field, and we just wanted to get their perspective about camp. And of course, we all haven't been together in a little while, so this is like a real family reunion for us, right?
Yeah.
But we appreciate you guys coming on today. So I guess, well, Jason, let's start with you. You know, this has been 8 years for you, right? Yeah. I got that right?
8 years.
8 years for you. It's hard to believe. And you have brought people from work. You've brought, and they're friends. You've made it to where the people that work for you are your friends. So
that's a
great way to do it. You've brought your brother. You've done. You're always been a guy that's every year you've tried to be here at camp because I don't know. You just tell us why that is, because I know how much I appreciate you, because this is a business, right? So I still have a job basically because Jason brings people every year to fantasy camp. So, but just tell the audience just a little bit why. You make a point to bring critical people in your organization to Braves Fantasy Camp.
You know, I think it's an easy situation when you have an experience with people that you would have an experience with, whether it was a special event like a fantasy camp or whatever. And when I had that first experience by myself, and I went back home, and you're trying to explain what it was about. Me and Arnie were on a team my first year that you just walk away, you come back town, you're trying to explain what's going on, and they just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that were critical to the organization, it was an opportunity for us to get away from the office, away from the business, to really connect, you know. And it's like I wanted everybody to be in on the feeling that I got. And you know, I had several people that I've brought back multiple times. There's been a couple of times I brought two guys. We're talking about bringing a large group all back together at the same time. And that's just I really compare it to a reality show. You know, you see like Big Brother and stuff, and these people, they create these relationships within 30 days that, because you're spending so much time with these people, and it's when you go through a certain experience with somebody, it's different than just normal life.
Yeah.
And, you know, these guys, I come back and I see year after year after year. Last year with COVID, not getting a chance to come back. And I had a lot of other stuff going on. I had COVID with my business. But during the week that camp was supposed to be here, like it was awkward.
Mm.
It was awkward. You know, walking into the facilities for the first time and seeing all my buddies and seeing all the coaches. So getting them to experience something that's unlike anything else that I've ever had a chance to be a part of. And it's kind of special that you have that feeling that nobody else gets a chance to feel. And that's, I think that's really what it's about, is you're going through something that's really hard to explain unless you've done it.
Well, it's a great explanation. I mean, it says it all for me from that standpoint, because I get it, because I've been here and
absolutely
seen how people change a little bit, and whether they, what kind of expectations they had coming in? Because, you know, I get all the phone calls of people who are coming for the first time, and what should I expect? You know, I play a little bit of the psychologist role because I'm trying to tell them just it's not what you think, right? Yeah. Yes, you are having to hit a baseball and a bat. Or with a bat, but and you need to be prepared for that. But outside of that, there's so much more to it than that. And I think that's a great word from that standpoint. So Arnie, you live in Utah, and we've talked. You're a big outdoorsman, but you play sports and but I'm curious, and this is my personal kind of thing that I like to do. I always want to know how you became a Braves fan, because I know you always didn't live in Utah, right?
Right. Okay. I grew up in Hawaii.
Right.
Yeah.
So how in the world does that happen? Are you a TBS kid, or what was it that attracted you to become this Braves fan? Because people that come here, they're Braves fans, right? It's not like you're an Orioles fan looking for an experience, right?
Right. Yeah.
So I could understand if you were an Orioles fan why you would come here, but
but there's not a whole lot to cheer for if you're
right.
an Orioles.
That's
fan.
Right. Well, how did it happen for you?
So I grew up in Hawaii till I was 15 years old, and I grew up Mormon. I grew up LDS, and so those were some of my influences. And then when I was 15, we moved to Salt Lake City, and I was kind of in Hawaii back in the 70s, you had three channels, right? We didn't have TBS, we didn't have satellite back in those days. So on Saturday afternoon, all we got was Dodger baseball. I hated the Dodgers because that's all I saw. and the minor league team at the time in Hawaii was the Padres, the Islanders. And I thought, these aren't my teams. And so when we moved to Salt Lake and I went on a Mormon mission to L.A., Dale Murphy showed up one day, and they called it Dodger at the Dodger game. It was called Mormon Night at Dodger Stadium.
Really? Cool.
So I went there and met Dale Murphy, and he was about to hit 40 home runs that year. And he came up to a bunch of us and signed some autographs. And I was already kind of a Braves fan, but at that moment I was done. It was sealed the deal. I was a Dale Murphy fan, became a Braves fan, watched everything all through the 80s and 90s when we were terrible. And then,
just the 80s?
And then we got really good. Just the 80s. And then we got really good in the 90s and watched Steve Avery, do what he did in his early years. And, it was just sealed the deal when Dale Murphy came up and signed a bunch of autographs. And I still have the hat I had him.
Really?
Sign. Yeah,
that's
back,
awesome.
And that was in 85, I think.
That's awesome. Now, I've asked two people at camp this year, how did you become a Braves fan? Both of them have said because Dale Murphy made it a point to come say hi and sign an autograph for me. One of them was Glenn Haddon, who's a Canadian,
right,
and went to a Montreal Expos game and yelled at Dale Murphy from 20, 30 rows back in left field, and came, and Dale waited for him to come all the way down, and he signed a hat. Been a Braves fan since he's a kid. And then you tell me that about Dodger Stadium. So,
and I live 20 minutes from him right now in Salt Lake.
Yeah, so that's awesome. That's awesome. I mean, couldn't be a better guy to make you. I can see why you would become a Braves fan after meeting him, because he's unbelievable.
It's funny how that works. I've still got, my dad met Terry Pendleton in 1992, I think, and he got him to sign autograph a hat, and that's literally what, 30 years now, and I still have that hat from when I was a little kid.
Wow.
And it's like those things, it's like I will be a fan of this guy and this team forever.
Yeah.
And it's funny how that works. All right, so
awesome.
Question for both of you, since you're both fantasy camp vets, what do you have, one memory that sticks out as like your favorite, if you had to pick one, fantasy camp memories, is there one that's just, that's the one that's your favorite memory so far? Jason, we'll start with you.
There's a lot to really choose from.
Jason Poole's story.
All right, let's hear that, Greg.
He may not want me to share it.
It's okay. Go ahead. Let's hear it. And
so
then I'll give you mine.
My favorite story of Jason Poole is, this was early on when he was with the Braves, and he was with one of his buddies, came, and he comes to the clubhouse, and, it had been a late night, and he's
early morning.
Yeah, there's several of those.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And we're But it seemed like early on there were more of those with Poole. I think he's kind of mellowed out over the years.
Kids.
Yeah, kids will do that to you. But, you know, we're in Kangaroo Court, and all of a sudden it's near the end. We're getting around the field, and Brian Lapidus, who used to work with me and help me start Fantasy Camp, he comes in. He goes, hey, I just got a phone call. I need to bring somebody up in court. And he says, the Wyndham just called, and Jason Poole, they left their tub on, their jacuzzi on, and it's flooded. It flooded the whole condominium. Like, that's a fine. I don't know if that was a record fine, but I know you got fined for it. Am I correct in that?
I believe I have all the record fines. I think one time we had an incident underneath the ping pong table, and then I fell asleep in my lot. Well, I passed out in my locker, and you know, so I've got all the records when it comes to
fines. And to be fair, your wife did come with you one year.
She came with me every
year.
And
I think you both got fined that year.
We both got fined. They fined my wife. They fined me. They fined the thought of both of us. They fined our marriage. They fined everything about our being that we could. And it was probably well deserved.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of memories, but as an adult, there's so few chances that you actually get to win something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, once you get out of high school, you know, I played ball through high school. I went to college. I played soccer and baseball. I got hurt my freshman year in soccer. It ended my career with everything pretty much. And as you get older and older and older, there's just fewer and fewer chances to actually win anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, in business you can win, but it's not truly like winning. And, you know, the first time I got to win a championship, I know it's selling, and I tell my friends that they just don't understand it. You know, I'm like, I want a ring.
You
know,
you wear that thing?
I wear it all the time. I wear it to work. I wear it on my chain. I tie it into my shoelaces. Any chance it's awesome. Sitting in my room right now on top of my table.
That's great.
But I got a chance. I hurt my arm coming into my second camp. I went to the doctor. I didn't want to have surgery. I got a cortisone shot. I got an opportunity to pitch. I think BJ pitched me every single game.
Gosh.
I pitched the
no
final.
No wonder you had arm surgery. Yeah,
exactly. So I pitched the final game of the championship game. It was I gave up one run. We went to Texas League. We were overtime and extra innings. And that memory right there of my team, it was the 11 hole that hit a swing bunt that won the entire championship. And that right there really sticks with me. It's like just so few opportunities as a true adult to win something. That was really sweet. And I got to win it with coaches that I truly am still friends with today.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. But outside of baseball, just seeing people that I respect and that I watched as a little kid with my grandfather sitting in his living room watching Ave, watching Pendleton, watching all of these guys. My grandfather, who's passed, was a huge Andrew Jones fan. Mm. And when I first met him, like, I couldn't talk. Like, I was just that stricken because I'm thinking about my grandfather watching him on TV and watching him make catches, and he was pointing out, you know, his first step and stuff like that. And, you know, and you know, now I see Brian Jordan, he knows who I am. And that's still really a big shocker for me. And, I mean, even you, Greg, like, I remember watching you play in the World Series. Like, I remember that, watching that with my grandfather and knowing that we're on a text basis still. For me, regardless of the relationship that we've had for the last decade, pretty much, it still kind of sets me back a little bit. And that's not a singular moment. That's just a feeling that you have when you walk through these doors, is that these guys that I grew up truly idolizing, that I had posters on my walls with, that, you know, I have truly a friendship, not a fantasy anymore. Yeah. You know,
that is
special.
Awesome. I love our grandparents because I tell you what, there are so many grandparents that passed a torch with TBS.
I tell you what,
that was amazing.
My first Braves game was with my grandfather. Murph and Horner went back to back with home runs against the Phillies, Turner Field.
That's awesome.
Done. You know, it's just.
Well, that'd have to be Fulton County.
Fulton County, sorry. You know, I'm not from Atlanta.
No.
It was in Atlanta.
That's okay.
How's that
sound?
It wasn't at the new stadium.
Yeah, that's right. What about you, Arnie?
There's so many of them. I mean, I've got some on the field. I mean, Jason Poole's tracked down a ball.
I think
I hit one about 398 in Orlando one time. He
stretched out.
found a way to stretch out and catch it over his head. But, Greg, I don't think I've ever told you this story. I don't remember exactly how I learned about the fantasy camp. I think I had heard bits and pieces over the years, and I thought, I'm going to go to a fantasy camp. And I either emailed or called and left a message or something, and I'm at work, and I managed a bunch of properties back home, and I'm at a house fixing some toilet or something. And my phone rings, and it says Greg McMichael on my phone. I'm like, what the? Like, is this the real Greg McMichael? So I answered the phone, and you said, hey, this is Greg McMichael with the Braves. I'm calling about the fantasy camp you signed up for. And I'm like, is this the real Greg McMichael? Like, I'd only ever seen you on TV or you heard your name over the broadcast. And I thought, is this really happening? Like, and we lined it all up, and I came to my first camp. And I've told Jamie this a few times. I think it was about September that you had called me, and I hired a personal trainer.
Mm.
And for the next 2.5 months, I was doing all kinds of stuff that I'd never done with a personal trainer. And I won MVP my first year, and I don't know that had anything to do with hiring a personal trainer, but I didn't know what to expect. So I wanted to be prepared. I didn't want to get hurt. I hadn't played any ball except softball for 15 years. So I hadn't hit a fastball. I didn't know, like, it was hard to pick up my swing. But I remember that first phone call, is this the real Greg McMichael? I thought that was funny as crap. And then, but all of the memories that I have, the ball field and playing is one thing, but knowing Steve Avery the way that I do now, and I've got, I mean, some of these guys that we've got phone numbers and we text with, we got engaged on the field a couple years ago at SunTrust Park. And
that's awesome.
You know, and you helped line that up.
Oh, that's right. I remember that because there was nobody in the stadium.
No, it was the day of the clinching of the division that time, and it was a Saturday, and it was going to be on national TV, so now we can't go near home plate. We have to be over here because they're getting it all set up. You lined us up with one of the ushers to help us do
a tour guide,
a fake tour. and Pete and Victoria over there. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, so I mean, she knew something was going on about probably 15 minutes into this fake tour.
So, what would you guys like to see?
Yeah, so there's the lights over there.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, I blubbered my way through the proposal, but
that's okay, right, Jamie?
Yes.
Did you? Hey, yeah, that's important.
That's all that matters. But yeah, I mean, the field is one thing. Knowing these guys the way that we do and having the camaraderie, and they're regular guys, guys I watched on TV for years, that's the stuff that I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Yeah. The horrible, embarrassing story about finding out about fantasy camp is, you know, I watched Seinfeld, and Kramer went to the Yankees fantasy camp and, right and plunked the guy. But I was working at Disney in 2000. And I went to go see a friend at the Wild World of Sports. So I walk out there, and I was like, the Braves are playing. So I go sit in the stands. There's nobody there, and I'm very curious as why nobody is in the stands. So I sit there and watch 3 or 4 innings, and I'm like, these guys suck. The Braves are going to lose 160 games this year.
Where in the world I'm going to go try out?
Yeah, I should be on the field. So I go ask the security guard. I was like, what is going on? He's like, man, that's the fantasy camp. That's not the true players. I was like, Jesus Christ. I mean, I just left immediately. But when I got to the later on in life, I realized I was like, I need to be a part
that's
of this.
Great.
And I found y'all online. But I sat there for 3 innings wondering, like, man, we are going to lose so many games this year.
That is a
this guy's
story.
Throwing 25 mile an hour.
Yeah,
and that first baseman can't jump higher than an inch.
You were like, your mind's going like, wait a minute. Yeah. I think I
can make it. I think I could make the team.
Everybody says these guys aren't that great. I mean, they really aren't that great. That's tremendous. I've had such a great time. And, you know, you brought your brother here in 2020. And that was the first time. Like I said, you've already always we've had people from your work. But when you brought your brother, and then you also brought your brother when we did a mini fantasy camp. And I think, Arnie, you came to that one at Truist. So we had a little weekend one, and that was
John Rocker was there that week.
Yeah we had some Leo Mazzoni.
Leo,
I think,
was there.
Andre.
Andrew.
Yeah, and we, you know, we're fortunate to have some great alumni and to be able to do some special things like that. But it is, I think I speak for all the alumni, that we enjoy getting to know you guys and your family members as much. And I think that's a testament for these guys that come here, that they don't still have a lot of big league airs about them. I mean, of course, everybody, you guys are successful. You wouldn't be able to be down here if you hadn't in what you do for your real jobs. And we were successful in our real jobs. And so we all have an ego, because you can't have some sort of ego, but there's a difference in that. I mean, you can have an ego and still be a decent human being and not have to be a jerk, you know. And I think sometimes we notice who the big league ball players are, who they may be 60 years old and they still think they're in the big leagues. You know, that's a joke among the alumni. Oh, he thinks he's still in the big leagues, because you treat people like when you were 25 and you didn't know, you know, and you were like a punk, you know, and you got the world by the tail and you got all this stuff going on. And it doesn't work when you do that, you know. So I think that's what makes all this work, because everybody kind of leaves their egos at the door and everybody has fun. And I mean, you know, it takes a lot to get busted up in Kangaroo Court, you know, or take your shirt off and sing to the Spice Girls, you know, and you're getting hazed as a rookie here at fantasy camp, and you're 60 years old. I mean, you know, it takes a special human being to be able to do that. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's so, I don't know if it's funny, but it's just so true what you're saying about, you just have to, like, it's so hard to explain, because when I came here 2 years ago, like, I was aware of what baseball fantasy camps were. I honestly haven't watched the Seinfeld episode with Kramer. Like,
you gotta watch.
Yeah, and it's so funny. And I knew that the Braves had a fantasy camp, but I really didn't know. I understood it's like, okay, you get to go and you get to live as if you're a big leaguer and play baseball for a week. Beyond that, I didn't really know. And Greg had me come down here for us to do the podcast 2 years ago, and I came away and I was just so blown away by, again, the camaraderie and the friendships, mm-hmm. and just that atmosphere. It's so fun. What if you could try to sell somebody on it? I mean, what would you tell somebody to say, like, what would be your selling point? Like, you've got to come try this at some point.
When I first came, I said to myself, this is a once in a lifetime. And I think I've been six times now. So my once in a lifetime has turned into, I've got to find a way to do this every year. Mm-hmm. It's too much fun. The memories, I mean, Kangaroo Court alone, it could be on a comedy show somewhere. I mean, it is hilarious. It's so much fun. I rarely write anybody up. I love sitting there watching everybody else get.
Yeah, when have you ever written anybody up?
I don't think I have.
Need to, Giles.
I need to.
Giles
find...
needs more, because he's. I've got more he than should, him. So he you should think be, of something, Giles. Yeah, too.
I'm not one of those guys that likes to stand up in front of everybody and have some attention. Like the few times I've been fined, I hated it. Like stand up there. In fact, Wes called me from camp. I think it was the last one in Orlando that I wasn't able to make. Mm. Called me and I got fined. In fact, I should probably pay that this year.
$100.
But yeah, no, I'll
for
find,
not coming.
I'll find, yeah, for not coming. Yeah. So that's good. That was a good time.
That's good. Well, we appreciate you guys taking some time and hanging out with us. This is our time every year just to reflect, and then of course when we do these podcasts, Ricky does a great job editing them, and then they're in our library and one of our highest rated shows the highest rated show of
it's
all time.
One of our top two. We've done, I think, close to 120 episodes. Nearly 4 years worth now, and still one of our most downloaded, most listened to shows was live from Fantasy Camp in 2020. So we've been waiting 2 years to get to do this again.
I mean, think about it. We've interviewed Hank Aaron, Rico Cardi, I mean,
Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, Smoltz, Chipper Jones.
I mean,
Fantasy Camp episode has been higher than all of those.
I mean, who'd have thought, right?
I think it comes down to the interest. I mean, it's such a unique experience that can't be duplicated no matter what you do.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's a very unique. And talking about my brother, like, we've never spent more than 2 or 3 days with each other, period. And when we left.
By design?
Mostly by design. But I tell you, you know, when we left camp, we were closer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's one of those experiences you just can't take back.
Well, don't tell him that the podcast that he was on was one of the highest rated.
I'm not going to tell him.
Don't tell him the one you were on will be the highest rated. Because he'll call me and ask me, when do you want me on again?
Yeah. When do you need me back down to Atlanta? Because I'll be there for you.
He was circling us that night. He said, you sure you don't want me on? I mean, you know, I'm available.
It's an experience. experience that you can't explain until you experience it.
Yeah,
period. That's awesome. And you guys do such a great job of orchestrating this, and you're getting an opportunity to live out a fantasy mm-hmm. from a little kid, and you know, it's just something special.
Yeah, yeah, it's unbelievable.
I mean, and like with me and Arnie, I mean, we've had several camps together, but it's just a camaraderie that you've gone through something mm-hmm. together that you just can't break that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if I see him 25 years from now, we're going to be able to pick up from yeah. the last time, and he's going to talk about when I robbed him in center field yeah. and laid yeah. out, yeah. and then he's going to talk about striking me out.
That's
and then,
right.
you know, it just doesn't go away. Those memories are strong.
Well, you know
strong.
What's crazy about that is that's exactly what happens to us, you know, as former teammates, right? So yeah. it's the same thing. This, you guys are teammates. We pick up and tell the same dumb stories that we were doing when we were 24 and 25 and 26, right. you know, yeah. playing with the Braves. We tell the same ones. Hey, you remember when we, you know,
yeah.
you know, so it's not any different. So we sense that and feel that, and it just brings back good memories for us
yeah.
too. So,
yeah.
Well, so thank you so much. This
thank
was great.
Guys.
Great
thank
catching
you so much,
up
guys.
With you guys, and appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right,
thanks, guys. Hey, Braves Country. We just wanted to remind you to rate, review, and subscribe Behind the Braves on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or at braves.com/behindthebraves, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you, and we'll see you next time on Behind the Braves.